Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Dee Williams lives in a tiny house. It's just 84 square feet. She designed its layout on an area rug in the dining room of her previous home, a three-bedroom house in Portland, Oregon. Her new house is on wheels, but it's generally parked in a friend's yard. She says she wanted to engage more in her community and reduce her carbon footprint. She's also reduced her monthly expenses from $1,500 to about $5, the cost of propane to cook and heat her new home. Dee, now you were living in a nice bungalow when you decided to pack it all away and drastically downsize. Why?
Well, I think a part of it was just wanting to do an experiment on myself. I had taken a trip to Guatemala, and on that trip, you know, it was like a big spanking, you know. I bumped into all of these folks in Guatemala who were just incredibly generous and had absolutely nothing. It was kind of this comparison thing that kind of brought home with me. And then also, you know, just kind of taking a look at my world and realizing that our mortality is a real thing. And if I did want to shake it up, I needed to do that.
So I wonder if you could take me for a virtual tour of your home. Here I am standing in front of it. What do I see? And what would happen if I walked through the front door?
Well, my little house looks like a little cabin. So it's got a pointy little roof. A very small door. It's like 2 feet wide. I pulled that out of a dumpster, and it's gorgeous. And a little front porch, and there's a sleeping loft above the front porch, so that kind of creates this little nook of the front porch. Walk inside after you take your shoes off, and turn to the left. There's the kitchen counter, and I have a crock that I carry water into the house, and there's a sink that drains into a jug under it. If you turn to the right, there's a toilet and where I keep all my boo-boo dust.
Boo-boo dust?
Boo-boo dust in the Pacific Northwest. Those are cosmetics.
Oh, excuse moi.
So you take a couple of steps. You're out from underneath the sleeping loft, and you're standing in this, what I call the great room. It's about a 6 by 6 foot space and has an 11-foot ceiling with a big skylight, and that's my living room. I would make you crawl up into the sleeping loft to try it out because it's incredibly spacious, even though you can't stand up there. There's another skylight that's over the bed, which is just an incredible gift. I mean, there's nothing like being able to fall asleep staring at the stars or the moon or watching it rain.
As I was coming over to this interview, somebody said, the 84 square feet now, does she add in her sleeping loft to that square footage, or is it just the footprint of the bottom of the house?
It's just the footprint of the bottom. I guess the rule of thumb for architects is that if you can't stand up in a space, you don't have to count it. So I think if I was to pull a real estate ad, it would be one bedroom with a bonus room. It would be like a quarter bath or something like that, because I just have a toilet and I don't have a sink.
Talk to me about exactly how you built this. You have obviously some building skills yourself. You have some carpentry skills. As I understand it, you got some shingles from a friend who stored them long ago, but where'd you get your other stuff?
I scavenged a lot of stuff out of debris piles. So the roof of the porch, the overhangs, the soffits, all of that is salvaged. The skylights came from a salvage yard. The kitchen counter is an old pocket door. The wood that's on the walls, it's knotty pine. That came from a Habitat restore. And the loft flooring came out of a house fire. It's like the house kind of grew out of what was made available. It's kind of cool to be able to live in a space that tells more of a story than I went to Home Depot and I got a great price on this.
Okay, now wait a second. You said you haul your water, but you have a toilet, so...
I have a composting toilet.
Uh-huh.
So I've got these new chores that are a part of living in an 84-square-foot house. Managing my compost is one of them. Dragging water into the house for washing dishes and stuff like that is another chore.
Okay, Dee, how does one scale down from a three-bedroom house to something that is, 12 by 7, essentially?
I had to do it the hard way. I had to go through everything. I had like three piles. One pile was the stuff that was definitely going to get dragged out to the curb, and it was massive. It was like, the moldy old ice cube trays and saggy futons and, linens and garden tools. I got rid of all of that stuff, and it was pretty easy. I haven't wondered, you know, gosh, I wish I still had all of that silverware that didn't match that I've been dragging around since college. That stuff was great.
Okay, so threw stuff out, and then?
And then, you know, I was left with the stuff that was just overwhelming to try to figure out. You know, the old love letters, trophies. So I put those in four of those, you know, those plastic kind of bins.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, I've gotten it down to about a fourth of one.
Okay, but what about going forward, Dee? I mean, every day there's stuff that we encounter that we think we need to have. What do you do with that?
Well, I kind of have this revolving door. So if I bring something in, I try to get rid of something. So if I get a new, you know, jacket, I'll pilfer through and see if I can find something to get rid of. I'm down to like two forks. I started out with seven, I think, and so the forks are easy to let go of. So I've acquired a new pair of shoes and got rid of a fork. I've gotten really good about asking to borrow stuff too. So recently I had a big award event that I got to go to, so I borrowed a beautiful dress, and it really is nice to be able to have friends that have things. If you lived in town, I'd borrow something from you.
Okay.
It's been a really good lesson for me to learn how to accept people's gifts, and my friends have been wonderful at teaching me that.
So at what point do you think you might decide you don't want to live in this small space anymore? Or maybe decide that you want to downsize even further?
You know, I have thought about downsizing further only because there's a lot of wasted space. And then more recently, I've thought that's foolish. I'll go nuts. I need at least 84 square feet. And then as far as, you know, moving on to something else, I think if I, you know, fell in love and decided I wanted to be with somebody over a longer period of time than a few nights, I would definitely need more space. And I would like to think that I could take the stuff that I've learned in this giant experiment in the backyard and apply that to whatever living situation I have.
Dee Williams lives in Olympia, Washington. Well, at least that's when her tiny home is parked there. Thanks so much, Dee.
Thank you so much.
To hear much more of our interview with Dee Williams and see pictures of her tiny home, go to our website, loe.org. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Eileen Balinski, Bruce Gellerman, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, Ike Shrishkandaraja, and Mitra Taj, with help from Sarah Calkins and Marilyn Gavoni.
Our interns are Lindsay Breslau, Liz Gross, Phil DiMartino, and Christine Parrish. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Learish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org. I'm Jeff Young.
And I'm Steve Kerwood. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners. The Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues. The Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs around the world. Uncommon heroes dedicated to the common good. Learn more at skoll.org. And Pax World Mutual Funds, socially and environmentally sustainable investing. Pax World for tomorrow. On the web at paxworld.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.